You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Monday. It is I like to say it's finally Monday because I look forward to being back on the air and talking about the fun, cool stuff I get to talk about on a nightly, weeknightly basis with my co-host, Greg Bach, who joins me from downstate. I am upstate, and Dom is in Madison. It's great to be back on the air with you guys. How are we doing?
I'm doing quite well. Happy Easter Monday to those who celebrate.
I have to say... I don't know that I've heard that term before, Easter Monday.
It's not
and
a federal
I celebrate
holiday.
Easter. I went out to brunch yesterday. I think that means I celebrate Easter.
That just means you went to brunch.
I sure did.
It's not a federal holiday, but it's actually recognized as a day. Like, so like if you look at calendars, it will say Easter Monday, which to me fits into my question that I asked as a young kid in Catholic school. You say that he died on Good Friday and rose 3 days later. That's Monday, not Sunday. That's 2 days later. And I always would get in trouble when I was being totally serious with my question. But now this here, Easter Monday, makes everything make sense.
It's so funny you say that, Greg. I used to think that as well. And I actually did the math in my head. And I thought, well, if it happened early on Monday and he arose late on Sunday, you could lawyer ball your way into a three-day resurrection.
No, thank you. I like consistency. I like consistency.
When it comes to resurrections or just in general?
Yes. Yes. Let's go with that.
Oh, that is great. I hope everybody had a great Easter if you celebrate. Yeah. And if not, I hope you had a great Sunday. I did go to brunch, and here's my issue. Like, it was lovely. I went with my parents, my wife, and my sister. Boy, by the second time you go through a brunch line and those tongs or those handles are resting in the food, game over.
Yep.
It's like, I'm not eating that. You know, it's kind of unsanitary.
Oh, I thought you meant like the temperature of the tongs or something. I wasn't sure.
No.
Really? God, I don't care.
People's grubby fingers on it, and then now they're in the food. Come on. We're better.
Oh,
than
I see. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I'd still just pick it up. I'd pick up the eggs with my own hand. I wouldn't even need tongs. I don't care.
That's worse.
That's the world. It's the world we're living in. My goodness.
I think you're a pretty clean guy, Greg. I'm making an assumption.
I
still think that's maybe worse than the tongs.
It's gross. It's gross. We didn't do anything on Sunday. We had a big, very active Saturday. There was a lot going on Saturday. We ate our own human weight in. Food at a place called House of Gerards. It's a German, like traditional German restaurant with like all the servers are wearing the, you know, the lederhosen, the garb and all that stuff. And the food is built to fill. That is when
Mission
you find out the difference. That's the difference when you find out the difference between a 6 ounce steak and an 8 ounce steak. An 8 ounce steak makes you go, oh my God, I'm going to die.
So what was the occasion? Were you celebrating your outstanding night of stand-up comedy Friday in Oshkosh, or was it a pre-Easter thing, or what?
So it was a celebration of my wife's birthday. Her birthday is tomorrow, and she asked that we do some stuff, and we went bowling, which is what you wanted to do. So we went bowling at a local bowling alley, and then we went to dinner at this place. And originally it was, we can go for drinks afterwards. And she looked at me about like halfway through the meal. She goes, we're not going out for drinks. We're going home. we had to lay out. We were so full. It was great food, great time. We'll go back again, but you like go hungry to places like this, House of Gerards in Kenosha, and go hungry.
Good to know, dude.
Yeah. So
I will
it was
say
it's fun time.
I will say we ate at the buffet yesterday morning, and a lot of time went by, and we weren't hungry all day because that's how it works with buffets. And all of a sudden, we're starving at like 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Nothing is open in Christmas City, USA, Marinette, Wisconsin. So we went to McDonald's, and guess what, Dom? Guess what we did not order, even though we were hungry.
You really served that right in the face. Just, mean.
Well, so you didn't have an Arch Burger. You didn't have an Arch Burger.
We did not, and my wife looked at it on the menu. She goes, that looks gross. So she got a fish sandwich, which I don't know how less gross that is, and I got a Big Mac. But we did not go for the Arch Burger, and it was right there. I probably won't be back to a McDonald's for 5 months, and I still passed up my opportunity.
It's still the same amount of whatever. It's just a smaller portions.
Right.
And tastes like, you know, you really can't. Don't go getting like all up in your high horse and forget how you were raised when you're like, I got a fish fillet instead of a Big Arch.
Listen, bikini season is right around the corner. I can see why you go for the fish fillet over the Big Arch for both of us. But anyway, hey, we have a great show tonight, guys. And I would like us to introduce the guest, Greg. And then I do want to hear about your stand-up gig because I was kind of living vicariously through you. That's kind of cool that you had a stand-up gig. I had one in February, and I don't know how often you do that, so I do want to hear about it. But we have a great show tonight. Dom DiLiberto will be here. He is a climatologist and award-winning science communicator. Yeah. Very excited to talk to him about all things weather. And then my pal Frank Anderson and soon-to-be Greg's pal will be here in the second hour. Frank is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. And he can tie anything to our state of Wisconsin. He is very patriotic when it comes to WI, all caps. He will be here in the second hour, so that'll be fun.
And coming up tonight, we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but the Milwaukee Film Festival is on its way, coming up very, very soon. And this week, the listeners will have their chance to win one pair of tickets to go see a movie at the Milwaukee Film Festival. That's going to be going on from April 16th to the 30th. So tonight, in the second hour, we will have our Win Your Way In contest. We'll be having you text in a keyword. So get yourself ready, because in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, we'll give you that keyword. And if you win, you will win a pair of tickets to go to the Milwaukee Film Festival to see a great movie. We'll be talking more about that. We got guests this week from the film festival coming. So yeah, that'll be happening all this week. And then next week, we'll be giving away a VIP pass to the Milwaukee Film Festival as well. So get yourself ready. Get yourself tuned in. Second hour, that keyword's a coming. For the Win Your Way In text to win contest for the Milwaukee Film Festival. That's going to be really cool. But before we go any further, Pete, I feel like we need to ask a very important question. Do you have a question for the audience for the night?
I do, Dom Lee. What is the best TV show theme song? That's a great one. What is the best TV show theme song, folks? Have fun with this tonight. We all have those songs, the shows we loved growing up, or even now. What is your favorite? Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, which is very easy to use, and you can take us with you wherever you go. And you can also drop us a stream comment if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter. So be part of the show and let us know what your favorite TV theme show is. So many great ones to choose from. Dom, have you given that question some thought?
I have, but I'm going to wait on it. I have a good one. All right. I have a good one.
All right. Very good. Well, I just want to make sure you're ready.
Born ready.
Okay. So before we get to our three big stories, Greg, how was the stand-up? Did it go well? Did you crush?
It was fun. I had a really good time. I did 15 minutes at a place called Fifth Ward Brewing Company. My friend Matty Field, he's a really, really, really good buddy of mine. Excuse me as I hiccup a little. I'm still getting over yesterday's or Saturday's dinner. I barely ate anything yesterday, by the way. I was so full that I barely ate. That's how much food there was. But the show on Friday was really fun. I did 15 minutes. I was a feature. I was the second feature of there were four total comics. And I think I had a good time. I had a good time. I think they had a good time. They laughed. I tried some new stuff that I've been wanting to do for a while, and it was a good time. It definitely makes me want to do it more. It's just finding that right flow and balance within the life, saying like, you know, I'm not going on the road anytime soon. And I'm not, you know, like, we're going to fly you out to wherever to do some. No, it's so we'll see what happens. But it was a good time and I did miss it. And it's nice to be able to know that I can like stand on stage and still be able to do it. It you know, there's always rust there, you know, especially when you go like I, you know, with my work that I did at the club, I would only do 3 or 4 shows a year. And so there was always like a considerable amount of rust I always felt like I had, but the room was real warm. The people were really laid back. We had a really good time. So it was fun.
That's awesome.
And I have some, you know, and of course I didn't record it because I'm like, I don't want to record. I don't want to listen back to this one. Just, and I should have, because there was some good stuff in there that I want to reuse for like and rework, sure, whatnot. So it was good. We'll see what happens next time. If there is a next time.
Glad to hear it. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Well, that's a news story, but let's get to our other three big stories of the day. Dom, if you please.
Well, speaking of Happy Easter, the president wanted to wish everyone a Happy Easter, and he did that on his Truth Social website by posting the following, which I'm going to edit because I don't want to get fined by the Federal Communications Commission. Tuesday, quote, Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped up in one in Iran, and adding, open the effing strait, you crazy. I'm not saying that word, or you'll be living in hell. All caps, just watch. Not even like a dot, 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 by the way, Happy Easter. It was just that on Easter Sunday. But by the way, also, quick question for everyone out there. Do you think that, you know, the Army wants him saying what they're doing?
Yeah.
Or maybe in the fact of they don't think he, like, they're not doing that at all. They're like, we had no plans on doing that. We're just trying to figure out what you guys want. Next to Pete Hegseth firing all these generals, but that's for another day to talk about. But yeah, that's what he tweeted on his Truth Social website. Very, very in the realm of Easter celebrations.
I'm just guessing he's the first president to drop an F-bomb on Easter in an address to entire country.
Yes, yes. He's breaking those records every day. It's great. It's wonderful.
I mean, and, you know, you just said it was interesting what you just said, Greg. I don't want to break any rules here or get fined by the FCC. Well, he's the head of the FCC by default,
mm-hmm.
And he's the one putting this stuff out there. I mean, it was like it gave us something to talk about over brunch. I will say that. But it was a little crazy and a little unhinged.
Oh, a little?
Well, for him.
he went on to say that, you know, in another post, because he posts 38,000 times a day.
Yeah.
He said, quote, rescued the seriously wounded and really brave F-15 crew member slash officer from deep inside the mountains of Iran, calling the operation an amazing show of bravery and talent. And that's great. I'm glad that person was rescued. That's wonderful. He went on then to say, the U.S. military sent dozens of aircrafts armed with the most lethal weapons in the world. What, his tweets? To retrieve them. He sustained injuries and will be just fine. Well, you're not a doctor, so stop saying that. But it's just like, this is a man, by the way, we've never talked about this. This is a man who doesn't get daily reports. They show him sizzle reels of what's going on, and they show him explosions every day. So he's like a little kid who's like, yay. So all of this delivered for you on Easter Sunday. Yeah.
There was all kinds of rumors about the president, too, over the weekend that we get kind of crazy, too, on social media, speaking of social media. But we've got more news coming up. We've got a couple more big stories we'll get to after this very short break. We are so glad you're here, folks, on this Monday. What is your favorite TV theme show song? Text that in and be part of the show. We've got 2 great guests, a fun question, and lots of stuff still coming up. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. That is Dom Lee spinning the tunes and working the board on this Monday night. Hope you're having a great day and a great evening, and I hope we make it even better, folks. We got Tom Liberto will be here. He is
DiLiberto.
I'm sorry. And he is our first guest tonight. He is a science communicator. and a climatologist, award-winning in both areas. And he'll be here to talk to us about weather. And then Frank Anderson, our pal from WisconsinOlogy.com, also a documentary filmmaker and commercial director and all things show business. He'll be here in the second hour. That'll be fun. Right now, we were in the middle of our two remaining news stories. All right. Well, this year's NCAA tournament is about to come to a close. The championship game for the men is tonight. Michigan squares off against Arizona. Michigan's heavily favored. Also, we need to mention the UCLA Bruins women's basketball team won their first ever national championship. Greg, what do you think about
that? Fantastic. They beat South Carolina handily 79-51 to win their first ever. That is, I love it. I love it. It's their first since they UCLA women's basketball has been in existence for 44 years now, and their first time they get to cut the net. See, I know what happens. I know things. Everyone who beat me up in middle school
for not knowing women's basketball. That was a tough school.
Yeah.
I didn't know I thought they had been around longer than that. That surprises me that it's just been 44 years, but this is their first title. That also surprised me. And watching their celebration was just so much fun. Yeah. The highlights, it was so great. So congrats to the UCLA Bruins.
I'm sorry to Dom and his Fighting Illini. Are either of you going to root for anyone, or are you just going to watch the game and enjoy like I do when I see baseball teams who don't matter to me?
Dom, go first.
I think I'm going to root for Michigan. For Michigan. I've been to Michigan quite a few times. That's what I'm going to go for. You know, also Big Ten, you know, so
yeah,
I don't know. All right. That's what I'm going for.
Pete, what about you?
I'm typically with you on the Big Ten thing. I just find something irritating about Michigan. And I was really pulling for the Illini. I used to cheer for them before I switched to the Badgers in the early 90s. I still like the Illini. And I thought, if they would hit half of their free throws or three more three-pointers, they couldn't hit anything. I felt like that game was theirs for the taking. So that was frustrating. But, yeah, I guess I think I'm going for Arizona tonight, guys, even though they're like, I think, a 7.5-point dog.
Well, I mean, okay. That's all I got.
What about you, Greg?
I just want everyone to have a good time and play their best.
Very diplomatic.
I'm down for a tie. If they can do a tie, I'm totally in for that as well. Good on you guys. Yeah. Good job. Basketball. College basketball at that, too. Woo!
That would be about the worst thing ever, a tie.
Yeah. I don't know how long they would have to play. I feel like it's one of those things where they would say, like, if it, like, let's say you, well, here's a question. So, like, in hockey and in soccer, they'll do shootouts in games to like settle ties. And I know there's some rules like with championships, like they'll say, no, just keep going until someone wins. Is there a rule in basketball? Does it keep going overtimes? Or maybe they say, call it for the night. We'll meet back tomorrow and keep playing.
Yeah, I think it goes and goes until someone wins. So it could be like 14 overtimes until someone ends up getting
they
a
would
W.
Gotcha. And I don't know this 100%, but I know this 100%. There's no way there would be a tie under any circumstances for this game.
You heard it here, folks. Pete.
Come at me.
Pete making his assumptions and he's projecting. There cannot be. It's impossible. There's no way. Coming to you straight from Christmas Town, USA. Christmas City, USA.
Go Zona.
Go Zona.
All right.
That sounds like an Arizona tea line. Arizona iced tea. Go Zona.
That would be even better if that's what they were named after in Pete, Michigan. All right. It's time for our third big story.
All right.
This has to be you, Greg. It's K-Town, baby.
I mean, before you know it, there's going to be statues everywhere around this state. Al Molinaro, better known as Al from Happy Days, they have built a statue. This has been done, and it will be installed in Kenosha by the port. We're working on getting the artist on the show to talk about this, but here's the thing is, I didn't know that Al Molinaro was from Kenosha. I didn't know he was from Wisconsin. If everyone can't shut up about Mark Ruffalo being from Kenosha, but Al Molinaro, my goodness. So he will be getting a statue emblazoned onto the property to the city limits of Kenosha, celebrating it. I just love this. I personally love this. And I know I'm about to say something wildly unpopular. I love this more than the bronze fawns. So I think that statue is a weird addition to Milwaukee. I know everyone loves it. People go to it all the time. It's a huge tourist thing to a certain extent, I guess. But it is a character. It's like the Rocky thing in Philadelphia. Yeah. You know, and Bill Burr's made that joke. I'm not going to rip off his joke, but just like, let's get real people some statues. Like, we got the Crusher in South Milwaukee. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. The Fonz thing is fun, but Al Molinaro's a real guy, really from Wisconsin, who played the same character. Like, that's fantastic. And the Fonz thing, I love, growing up, I love the Fonz. I've talked about this before on the show. Like, when I was, there were so many Italians in my neighborhood in Chicago, they wouldn't even say, did you watch Happy Days last night? They would say, did you see the Fonz last night? Like, they just love the Fonz. So I love the Fonz, but you're right. He's a fictional character. And it might be different if they actually filmed the show in Milwaukee.
In any way, shape, or form, period. Right. One, like, even like a, like an inch of film, but no, not at all.
But I love the Al Molinaro statue. Love that he's from Kenosha and they're putting it there. And he seems like a great guy. And the Happy Days theme song could be in the running for an answer from someone for question of the night, which is, what is your favorite TV show theme song? That is our question of the night.
And don't forget, in the second hour, we're going to be giving you that keyword in our Win Your Way Into the Milwaukee Film Festival. So get your device ready. Get ready for that keyword. We'll give that to you in a little while.
Great film festival. And we are coming back very shortly, folks, after the news with our new friend, climatologist and award-winning science communicator, Tom DiLiberto. He will be here. We're talking all things weather. What better for Wisconsinites? It's Nightlight with Peter Chwaba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network. Welcome back. Great tune. You like Talk Talk, Greg?
I do. Yeah, I can't say that I'm the biggest fan, but like, songs like this are great. I mean, it just also has a just... You know those songs that just like punch you in the gut nostalgia-wise for a certain decade? There is those 80s songs that have like what you're just hearing now, those that synth sound. You're like, oh, 1983, 1987. You're like, middle school, grade school.
Absolutely.
Kind of
New Order, love all. Mm-hmm. I love those 80s. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep. Hey,
welcome back, folks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. I am coming to you live from Christmas City, USA, and Greg is coming to you live downstate from me, from the world-fabulous K-Town, where the new home of the Al Molinaro statue. Congrats to you guys, Greg. That's a coup.
Well, not to be that guy, but I'm in Racine.
Yeah, but you live. Mm-hmm. Okay. You live in the suburbs, which is K-Town, or is it the other way around? I don't know. We tried to get that statue here in Christmas City, but you guys beat us.
Wait, what? How did the Al? Stop it. Don't try to crack jokes covering up the fact that you don't know where I'm at. And also, by the way, I'm just watching my computer melt down in front of my face. I'm fine here on the live stream, folks. I'm here, but one of my computer screens is just like, yeah, we're done working right now.
That just happened with me, too. That happened with me, too.
I love technology so, so very much. We are currently waiting on our guest, Tom DiLiberto, right now. He is a award-winning climatologist and weather communicator. And we'll be hopefully he'll be joining us in a little bit to talk about the work he does and whatnot. And really quick, though, like we were talking about it before, Pete, as far as like the stand-up stuff, you know, you were so excited about me doing stand-up. And I really appreciate that because, like, you know, I do it so infrequently that I get like very like, should I be doing it? Like, I get very insecure. I'll be totally honest with you. Like, all jokes aside, I get very insecure because I'm surrounded by comics who do it like three, four times a night or many times a night, many times a week, a month. They tour. So I kind of feel like, oh, should I be doing this? And that's all, you know, in my head. But like for you, you don't do stand up as much as you used to, of course, but you know, you still get opportunities. What do you feel like when you are like, you know, someone says, do you want to come do a gig? Not like a big event to host, but like just, hey, come to this little theater or come to this bar, do 20 minutes.
I feel nauseous, Greg.
Really? Really?
I just don't do, I did it full time. It's weird because it seems like it was a much bigger chapter in my life, but I was a full-time stand-up from like 90 to 97. Mm. When I moved to LA, I kind of went up around town a little bit and then I kind of segued into writing and I just sort of stopped. I would do it occasionally. Like if a buddy called and said, hey, come and open for me. I would do that, and I would love that because you get to hang out. But it's been so long since I've done it full time that I do get kind of a pain in my stomach.
Yeah,
I'm just nervous. Like I still write jokes down throughout the course of the year because I host this football fundraiser up here in Christmas City, and that whole day, I'm kind of nervous, and it's not a fun day. When I get on stage, it's fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I get really good laughs, and sometimes I put something out there I think is a great joke that does okay, and I'm like, that's a better joke. Oh, it's because you're not really a stand-up comic anymore. You don't polish it up and know how to perform it. So, you know, I don't know. That's how I felt. So I was excited for you. I was like, this is fun, because that was a great time in my life. And I remember, you know, not ever getting nervous. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes wonder how I got there. Even when I would go on TV, I'm like, I'm not really nervous. You know your act, and that's all you can do, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there have been moments of nerves, and I think that usually comes with the location. So if it's a location with a lot of people, or I feel like, you know, like when you're opening for somebody that you really respect and like, and you know, you're going to set the mood. If they don't like you, them not liking you might make them not like the person you're opening for. So that's how I would get nerves. I'd never got nerves like, there are so many people, like, I don't know what to, like, I knew what to do. And if jokes don't go well, I know enough from improv and how to do that to make it work. And that's kind of like what it was for me on Friday, was the fact that I don't want to say low stakes, because, you know, you don't want to be the, you don't, as Mrs. McDonald used to say in choir, she would say, don't be the poop in our warm, frothy milk. I didn't want to be the poop. But my friend said, come do the show, do 15 minutes. You don't have, like, you're sandwiched in the middle. You'll have fun. No one's like going to say, oh, you can't do this anymore. And that's what I did. And I had a really good time. And that was the thing, like, we've all seen those comics who go on stage and have a thing of, all right, I'm here. Let's do some, you know, like, I wasn't apathetic, but I wasn't trying so hard to, like, I got to make you guys laugh. I'm like, I'm up here for 15 minutes. I'm going to make you laugh. I know I'll make you laugh, and some will be better than others. Let's try this. And that was a good feeling, because it, like, I remembered that, oh, I've been doing this for a while. So let's actually, like, you know, make ourselves useful here and be a part of the show. And it was a really good time.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because the only times I would get nervous is if I worked with someone big who I didn't really know. Case in point, Ron White. I worked with him before the Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
Yeah.
I had a similar joke to him. He pulls me aside after the show and he goes, you got to watch every show. We have the same joke. You can't do that joke. I'm the headliner. I thought he was a jerk. And then at the end of the week, we're getting paid, and he pumped me up in front of the club. Like, he did things exactly the way he should have. He pulled me aside, didn't embarrass me, but then end of the week, he was really cool. And I'm like, what was I nervous about? You know? And so anyway.
Gotcha.
Good stuff.
I loved having that talk, and we should talk more stand-up later.
We'll continue.
Right now, we are welcoming our guest climatologist and science communicator, Tom DiLiberto, to the show. Good afternoon, evening, Tom. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Much better now that you're here. We love having you. This is going to be fun. We're big fans of yours just from doing our research. So it's great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So really quick, you know, climatologist and science communicator. Start there. Like, we know what climatologists are, but, like, what is your, like, what do you do as a science communicator that, like, goes along with climatologist? Tom, are you there?
Yeah, sure. I always say that I want to become a scientist. And then, when I was becoming a scientist, and I realized I like talking about it more than doing it. So I ended up kind of shifting more into science communication. So my job, I'm the media director now of a nonprofit called Climate Central, whose job is basically to help communicate all that's going on climate-wise on our planet. And it's been fun. Basically, I'm trying to think of ways of communicating a really complex topic so that people can understand it. So in the end, people can make the best decisions they can with the best information.
Great.
Yeah, that was a great answer. I still have a question, though. Like, with what you do, what is your typical day like when it comes to weather? You've got so much education. You've got so many titles. You wake up, you go to work. What is work like for you on a day-to-day basis? And what is the most exciting thing about your job? Like, what's the part of your day you can't wait to get to when it comes to weather?
Yeah, so, like, it gets back to the beginning of why I got into this field to start. Like, I've wanted to be a meteorologist, climate person since I was, like, 8 or 9 years old. I was always, like, super interested in the weather. I always wanted to be that kid in elementary school that was able to tell the rest of the class when there was going to be a snow day or a snowstorm would pop up. So like, and that's never changed. So every day I'm just kind of waking up and seeing what's going on weather-wise across the world, across the United States. But my day to day, there's always something going on somewhere. There's always some extreme occurring. There's always something that needs to be explained. So normally when I wake up, I'll take a look at what's going on, not only across the United States, but across the entire world. And I have these other kind of projects where trying to figure out the best ways of communicating these really huge planetary style things in a way that like is understandable to someone who may not ever see or experience that in their own home. So it's neat because every day it's something new, every week it's something new. And I'm also a big fan of not knowing what's going to happen next. So there's no better business to be in than when it comes to weather. And then talking about the climate too, because there's always some aspect of not really knowing what your day is going to look like. So it's just kind of embracing the uncertainty.
In today, climate versus weather, and talking about like one of the climate change was never the easiest topic to discuss, but I feel like in the past couple of years, it's been even more difficult. How do you approach shifting attitudes or like maybe the questions you get as far as like explain this to me and like, you know, as you say, make it bite-sized, make it understandable while not trying to change people's minds, but like making them understand this is the world we live in. And no matter who you vote for or what you believe, the weather is weather, climate is climate, and this is how we need to approach the topic.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the first thing I always say is I would be very happy if people put me out of a job and stop climate change. By all means, that's cool. Whatever. I'll take one for the global team. if that's the situation.
You're and a sport.
So, yeah, I'm a good sport, you know? And like the one thing I always, you know, as someone who's managed at times government climate accounts, like government social media accounts for the government, and I have had to deal with people yelling at me. One thing I learned early on, and statistics have been surveys have proven this, that the people who are truly dismissive of climate change is like 9 or 10%. And that's held steady for like over a decade now. The thing is that 9 or 10%, they're so loud. They're so unbelievably loud. So I try not to like overly worry that like I'm going to convince their mind, like change their mind. And the one thing I usually go into is at the end of this conversation, I hope the person, whether they agree with me or not, sees me as a human being and could imagine themselves talking with me about some other topic besides climate change. Like we can talk about literally anything they want. And like, that's a success for me. Cause in the end, you know, I can only do so much. It's of the people themselves to be able to change their own views. But, I'm always very clear, like, I'm not in this for, I always joke, I'm really good at math. If I wanted to make more money, I would do something besides this. so it's, you know, it's purely out of a love of the atmosphere and just being scared of what the outcomes are that I'm just trying to say this. There's no ulterior motives here. I'm not making any extra money off of this.
Right. Oh, that's a great answer.
Wait, you're not being paid by the intelligentsia billions of dollars to tell us about climate change? What?
Oh, if I am, they're putting up a direct deposit in an account I don't own.
Tom, we have about a minute and a half to where we have to do a very short break, but I wanted to get this question. When it comes to climate change or weather, what do you make of this idea or prediction that states like Minnesota or Michigan and Wisconsin are going to become destinations in the next 20 or 30 years because of our water and maybe some global warming, hopefully? Will we be able to shake that Rust Belt rep?
Yeah, there is some truth to that. So like if you take a look at the United States as a whole and you say, okay, what states are probably going to see the biggest impacts that's going to make it really, really hard to live? You say, like, where are the warmest places and the places that have difficulty accessing water? Which also tend to be a lot of those places. It's making it really, really hard to live. And they say like, well, the further north you go, that's the fastest warming place on the planet. So if you go too far north, it's too much of a shock. So there's like this sweet spot in the middle where the effects will still be, but not as bad if you have access to it. So a place that always gets brought up is right. You have Wisconsin, Minnesota, sometimes upstate New York kind of gets brought up. Places that get a lot of get a lot of water regardless. There's just, they might get more of it, so there might be issues there. There might be more invasive species, but there'll still be water. And it won't be a bajillion degrees every summer, making it impossible to go outside. It'll
all right, still get hot, let's pick up there.
Unbelievably hot as Southeast and Southwest.
Let's pick up right there when we come back after this short break. Our guest is Tom DiLiberto. He is a weather, I'm just going to call you a weather expert, especially compared to me and Greg. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I am Pete Schwabe, sitting just upstate along the lake, as it were, from Greg Bach, who is in Racine at Radio Park. Our guest is Tom DiLiberto. He is a very decorated weatherologist. I'm making up words now, Tom. He's a climatologist and award-winning science communicator who also used to work for, in the Office of Communication at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Tom, I have kind of a, I just want to say, I was looking up your profile on LinkedIn earlier, and this kind of cracked me up. I was reading your titles, host of NOAA's Climate Alive program, winner of the National Science Communication Competition, declared America's first scientist idol, and then it was improv comedian.
What?
And I was like, what on earth is that? Please tell us, where did you study? How does it become part of your job? And maybe you could segue into this cool thing, this show you have.
Yeah, sure. I've always wanted to do improv comedy, and I was getting older, and I found myself giving lots of talks on climate change and these sorts of things. And I live in Washington, D.C., and I now perform with the Washington Improv Theater here on weekends. Nice. I'm on a couple of house teams there, including one team I created, which is I feel like this might be only true in Washington, D.C., and if not, that's cool. I'm still going to pretend like it's the only one. I have a science-based comedy improv team called The Hypothesis, made up of just scientists and people who work in the science field. And we just kind of like invite scientists and people to give talks on science, and then we make comedy out of it. And I found it's incredibly helpful to me, because it makes me much more of an active listener when I'm like trying to come up with an idea. It mm-hmm. makes me work better with teams and brainstorming things. Also, it makes it so I don't take myself too seriously. and I feel like that also helps too, when trying to come up with ideas and ways of communicating things, but also makes me quite a weird person in the science field. There's probably not that many of me that have that sort of background. There should be more. I think there are more. They just need to trust themselves and get out there more.
I think that I feel like everyone, regardless, everyone should take an improv class. I think it helps you with personal confidence. I think it helps you with interaction. I think it helps you with a lot of things. And I know a lot of individuals who've taken improv classes to help with their non-comedy jobs. And it's great. And plus, it lets you reach out to a community. Lets you found family. I think that's absolutely wonderful. And another thing that you did that, you know, brought, you know, an explanation to very complex topics is you made a cartoon regarding climatology and climate and the weather and whatnot. Tell us more about Teak and Tom.
Yeah, I somehow convinced NOAA, where I used to work, this is in the previous administration.
Yeah.
I convinced them to let me make a cartoon about, it's for fourth to sixth graders, about how basically the weather and climate happens on planet Earth and why we should care about it. It's called Teak and Tom. I'm the Tom. Teak is basically an alien student who comes to Earth on a school assignment about learning about the atmosphere of a planet, and Teak chose Earth. And then obviously when you come to Earth, you have to talk to somebody about from NOAA about the atmosphere, and I'm the person. So it was probably the most rewarding experience of my life. And now it's great because now there's a cartoon version of me that will never age. And I look wonderful as that cartoon character. And it's also been a lot of fun, like playing it for kids. I have two kids myself. So watching them enjoy seeing their dad turn into a cartoon character and get slimed in one of the episodes, but no more spoilers. Spare any more spoilers.
Well, now I'm not watching it. Ah, sheesh. No, that's fantastic. I love that. I love that so much.
One of the things that's said in your bio too is that you tell people how to stay optimistic about unpredictable forecasts and seasons. This particular winter here in Wisconsin, I found a little depressing because we would have snow all the time that wasn't forecasted. And even if it's just an inch or two, it felt like I was wiping my car off in the morning 3 weeks in a row. How do you tell people to stay optimistic about weather? And I love that, that's part of how you describe yourself, knowing that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of beauty in just like how complicated the world can be outside, and just to like to witness it. I feel like sometimes we get caught within ourselves a lot, and like there's a lot going on, and I've always found it incredibly calming to sometimes just be outside, just watch the clouds roll in. And the other thing I always say that makes me like super optimistic about like even when times are tough is that in my career, especially in the weather world, even when there's really horrible disasters or really depressing weather, it's amazing how people in communities pick each other up during those times. Whether it's after like a tornado outbreak or after a snowstorm, helping people shovel. And I always like that community aspect of weather. So it's interesting how weather tends to bring people together. Yeah. And I feel like optimism is born out of that, that kind of feeling of community and bringing people together. And weather is always one of those things. If you don't know what to talk about with someone, you can always talk about the weather. And that's one topic that's true, no matter where you grew up, where you live, or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, yeah, if you want to kill 15 minutes to like 3 hours in Wisconsin, you can always talk about the weather, and we'll fancy ourselves, you know, meteorologists in our own. It's like, well, you know, it's raining today, but I hear it's supposed to be doing this. And then, but you never know, because it could be snowing in May, because that's just how it works in Wisconsin. It just seems like the old adage is, if you don't like the weather, wait 15 minutes, it'll change. But we definitely would love to have you back, Tom, to have and have further conversations about this. There's a lot we weren't able to get to today, but please come back. Our guest this evening has been climatologist and science communicator, as well as the media director of Climate Central. That will all be in our show notes so people can check it out. Tom DiLiberto is our guest this evening. Thank you so much, Tom, for being here. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get to the question of the night. Plus, we are going to give you that keyword for the Win Your Way Into the Milwaukee Film Festival. So get your device ready. Give you that keyword in a little bit. Stick around for the news. Stay tuned. Stay close. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.